So nice to see so many today, and it is a glorious time of year when we can celebrate and remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, right? What a story. And as our brother Roland has said, he came for a purpose. It wasn't just to teach the truth and to do miraculous things as it's recorded in the Gospels, but he was here to make it possible for you and I to go to heaven by going to the cross of Calvary and dying on the cross. I'd like us to turn to that story in the Gospel of Luke. And if you would like to follow along, there are Bibles. And we're all using the same one if you use the one in front of you. So I can give you the page number. We're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And it starts on page 1581. And we'll read into this story. I believe many know this story, but maybe some it's not that familiar. But we'd like to read from the Word of God. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Now Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. When the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And we'll just stop there for now. So this lovely event was recorded for us. Actually, the birth of the Lord Jesus, there are two records of it. And this is the most well-known in Luke's gospel. It's also mentioned a little differently in Matthew's gospel. There are a little more details, which we might briefly touch on there. But just think about this. I would like us together to pretend that we're there and we want to interview those that came to Jesus. So we're going to pretend that we're right then, and we know that shepherds had gone to see him, and we're going to ask them some questions. So, why did God choose these people? You know, they're the first recorded that saw the Lord. And they were given an invitation. Come and see. And that's really our theme for this celebration today. Come and see. Come to the Lord Jesus. You know, it's not come to a religion. It's not come to a church building. It's good to come there, because you may hear about the Lord Jesus. It's not come to some great speaker. It's not come to hear, you know, music that lifts our spirits. It's come to see Jesus. It's come to adore him. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come they were asked to come to Bethlehem. Now, they didn't know where this baby would be. And the scriptures tell us they were given a sign that the one that they were told about is going to be lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. What a strange place for a baby to be, right? And they were encouraged this way. This is their sign. Now, they were greatly afraid when they saw the angels. This is not an everyday occurrence. But those angels put them their fears aside. And they said, you know, they were given an invitation. They received, as we did, maybe a piece of paper to come and hear the story, come to see you for yourself. It's an individual thing, you know. You may have come with more than one person with you, but it really is God and you. It's an individual invitation to you. And you've come. You've come to this building for today. But the Lord wants you to come to him, right? And they did. So we're going to pretend for a moment that we're going to interview these shepherds. I believe God chose them as the first that would see the Lord Jesus, other than Joseph and Mary, of course, because of their low estate. You know, shepherds, that particular occupation was not thought highly of. You didn't need to be very skilled. And it was a kind of a lonely job. There you were out there in the fields, even remaining overnight, in many cases by yourself with the animals. Very few people to talk to. It was a dirty job. You'd be laying out on the fields in the dirt. And sometimes it would get cold at night. We might say, people of low estate. People that might be looked down upon by others of higher stature. Oh, this person is a shepherd. The Egyptians used to say that. They would say, these children from Israel that are here in our land, they're shepherds. That's, you know, beneath us. But this is who God chooses. He chooses the lowly, right? He chooses the lowly. And so let's ask these shepherds, what happened? What did you see? Well, let me tell you our experience. I'm now speculating. We were visited by angels. We got an invitation to go into Bethlehem. And we were told that the one that we would see, he wasn't a man, he was a little baby. And we were told something special about this baby, that this baby was going to be the Savior. He was going to be the Savior of the world. And we went. And you know, everything that we were told was true. Do you know that God announced the birth of his son centuries before? And everything he predicted, everything he prophesied, everything he said would take place at the Lord's birth took place. They believed that what they were going to see, they believed the words that were told to them, they believed what was shared by the angels, and they could testify to that. Everything we were told is true. And we were told that there was going to be this sign, that this baby, the Lord Jesus, was going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. So we saw a humble, lowly babe. And that's the Lord Jesus, beloved. He came as a humble, lowly person. He didn't come as a king, although he is. He stooped down to our estate, and it's seen in his birth. And imagine being laid in a manger. Born in a stable, laid in a manger. I often make the mistake. I say the Lord Jesus was born in a manger. Well, actually not. He was born in a stable, laid in a manger. And what is a manger? A manger is where they would put the food for the cattle. And that's where they would feed. And I would just say the shepherds got the message. This is the one that sustains life. This is the one we feed upon. This one laid in the manger where the animals would eat their feed. This is the real food for life. It is a person of the Lord Jesus. And so they left there. They were changed. When we meet the Lord Jesus, there's something that happens to us. If we really meet him by faith, there's a change that happens to us. He gives life to the believer, the one who believes in him. He's the one who gives, he's the life giver. And so if you come to the Lord Jesus, if you haven't yet, he has given this promise. He who comes to me will not be ashamed. He who comes to me, I will give life. And this is what these shepherds could tell us. Yes, we left changed. We saw the Lord. We came. We accepted the invitation. We saw the Lord. And we want you all to see the Lord. Now, this story doesn't end. Often when you hear a message about the Lord's birth, we focus on the angels and the shepherds, but there's more that takes place. That was the night of his birth. We might say day one of the Lord's incarnation, right? Day one. Well, according to the Old Testament and the laws that were required of Jewish families, they had to do something with baby Jesus. They had to have him circumcised. And the very next verses, which we didn't read, we read that on the eighth day, he was circumcised. So we're going to interview the circumciser. We're going to speculate that we're talking to the person that circumcised the Lord Jesus. In the Old Testament, we're told about this idea of circumcision. It's really introduced in the book of Genesis. And Abraham is the first one that God asked to do this to the male children. And it was because they were going to be identified in this unusual way as being God's people. It was a sign of a covenant. And the Lord Jesus, with his faithful parents, Joseph and Mary, were going to do this. It had to be on the eighth day, not the seventh day, not the ninth day. It had to be on the eighth day. And the circumciser wasn't necessarily a priest. It may have actually been a family member, but most likely it was a rabbi. It was somebody who may have done this more than once. And if I were a parent, I certainly would want somebody to perform surgery who's done it before. So I would perhaps want the local rabbi. And they're still in Bethlehem. They haven't gone back to Jerusalem yet. And we read this. And so we're going to ask the circumciser, what did you see when Mary brought baby Jesus to you to be circumcised? What did you see? Well, I saw a baby who was a descendant of Abraham. And he was fulfilled by his parents. His parents were faithful parents. And they committed this act for his blessing. He was circumcised on the eighth day, according to God's instructions. So I saw a boy that was under the law, under the covenant of God. And I saw somebody who could be that Messiah, because that was required of the coming Messiah. Now, it doesn't end there. We read that Mary and Joseph later had to fulfill the time of purification, it's called. So we know, based on the Old Testament of the Bible, you can read it on your own, Leviticus chapter 12, that Mary would be considered impure after giving birth. All women were considered impure. I know that may go against what you thought about Mary, but every woman who gives birth for a period of time is considered impure and not permitted to go into any place, a holy place. They had to rest. And this was true in the monthly cycle as well. For 7 days, they had to sit back. But after, according to Leviticus 12, if they had a son, which the Lord Jesus was, they waited 40 days. So we know exactly when Mary went with Joseph to the temple priest. And we can ask now, we can speculate, we can ask this temple priest, what did you see? What did you see when you saw baby Jesus being brought to you and Joseph and Mary following the law of Moses, offering a pigeon because they were very poor? What did you see? Well, I saw a family that was following God's instructions. But I saw a boy that was dedicated to the Lord. You mean the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, was dedicated to the Lord by his parents? Yes, he was dedicated. So this temple priest was given a testimony by seeing the baby Jesus 40 days after his birth. The night of his birth, 8 days after his birth, 40 days after his birth. Three different people. And the first was groups of people. Well, the last one I'm going to mention, and we won't read it, but I'll just mention it for the sake of time, were the three, we say three wise men. I think we say three because there are three different gifts that are mentioned. But actually, the Holy Scriptures don't tell us how many, and it's okay to say three, but perhaps there were many more of these wise men. But they brought at least three gifts that were recorded. And we know approximately when they came to see Jesus. They came to see Jesus too. Now, in your secular exposure to Christmas, what you will see is a manger with three wise men coming. No, no, beloved. They didn't come when he was in the manger or in the stable. They came several months later. In fact, according to the record in Matthew chapter 2, it appears that when they saw the star, they had to mount up a caravan and travel quite a distance from the east to go to Israel, to go to Jerusalem. And then they would look for this one who the star referred to, this Messiah, the King of the Jews. And they did. And we know, based on what happened afterwards, that it was about 2 years later. And it says in Matthew's Gospel, they went to the house. So evidently, Joseph and Mary were no longer in the stable. They were in a home. We're not told whose home it was, but there they were. And these wise men who studied the Old Testament scriptures and even studied the stars, and they saw this sign, we're going to interview them now. This is our last interview. So, wise men, you came to see the one the star foretold, the one that you gave the sign. What did you see? And they'll say, well, we saw the King of Kings. We saw a king. We saw royalty. And we bowed down and worshiped him. For he is the one who deserves all praise and honor. And this is what they saw. And then what did you bring them? Well, we brought him gold. That's what you would give to a royal person. And what else did you give? We gave him frankincense. Oh, well, that's something you would give to a priest. That would be something that you would use for the incense in the temple. That's a strange gift to give to the infant Jesus, isn't it? You gave him frankincense? Yes. What else did you? We gave him myrrh. Oh my, why would you give this baby myrrh? You know what myrrh was for? Myrrh was for burying bodies. It was the ointment that would be used when someone died. You see, they had special insight, no doubt, that this one who was born in Bethlehem was someday going to die outside of Jerusalem. And I would suggest to you, they could say, this one, like the shepherds could say, was the Savior, born under the law. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he may redeem those that were under the law. But the Lord's death on the cross of Calvary wasn't just for the Jewish nation and people from that background. He died for all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, nor come under condemnation, but have everlasting life. You can read these thoughts in these verses on the side here. This is what God, why God sent his son. When the Lord Jesus came, it wasn't just to be adored as a baby and be recognized as an infant as the King of Kings, but it was for the purpose for you and I to give his life on Calvary's cross. And there God judged our sins. You see, he didn't die just a normal death. His death was sacrificial, and it was also foretold. It wasn't plan B, it was plan A. God's plan for your redemption and my salvation. This is why he came. And we could interview those that stood at the cross, which we won't do because of time. But we could say this. They saw how God is going to save them by the death of Christ on the cross. May you come to him to get saved. May you come to him to be delivered from your judgment that will come. We can't save ourselves, beloved. And there is only one Savior. And no amount of effort we make will be good enough. For the Bible tells us we have all sinned and we've come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. So it is a gift, not only at Christmas. And you have to accept that gift. You have to open the package. You have to embrace what's in it. It's no good to receive a gift and you put it on the side and, oh, a month later, what's that? Oh, I got a gift. Well, what's it? What is it? I don't know. I didn't open it yet. The Lord wants you to open the gift. He wants you to believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. So I encourage you to do that, even this very day. If anyone would like to talk more about this, feel free to walk up to me or one of those brothers that was up front here and ask questions. We'll be happy to do that with you. How you can become a real Christian.